There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When that person's not there anymore, there's a safety net that's gone. Yeah. And learning to live without that safety net for 10 years and becoming your own safety net and
becoming a parent.
Becoming a parent, you know, and seeing glimmers of him in her. It's bittersweet for sure. So it's been about 6 months since Venetia and I have sat down and done an episode where we just talk about everything that we're learning while making this podcast. We get so many messages from you guys, and today we're going to take a look at some of those messages. And we're also going to talk about a couple of the things that have been going on for us personally and a couple of things that have been going on in the news and just have a chat.
Through our Facebook page, which we get new members sort of every couple of days at this stage. But there's a lot of people experiencing the same grief, whether it's loss of a spouse comes up quite a lot, loss of a child or loss of a parent. Yeah. And that, I think, manifests obviously with other people in the group because we're all there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great, but it also brings up different questions such as anniversaries and how we feel around anniversaries, birthdays, certain milestones in our lives. And from a personal experience, I always see, because Martin's anniversary was 2 weeks ago in February, your dad's anniversary was in February. So at New Year, I always sort of see, I don't see New Year as New Year anymore.
No,
I see Martin's anniversary as New Year. Like, it's almost like once we get past that date, it's another new year.
Do you feel like in some ways a sense of relief when it's past because you are in that new year?
I mean, it's only, we've just got to the second anniversary there on the 11th of February. But I sort of, although I was dreading it because I didn't know how I was going to be or what I was going to be like. And it actually was quite different because last year I thought I wouldn't be okay on the day, but it was actually the day before I just fell apart. This year I was sort of fine the day before, but on the actual day
and
the day after, actually, I found most difficult. But it was almost like I just couldn't wait for it to be over because I wanted a new year. I wanted the third year because the second year has been so horrible. I just wanted to be in the third year.
Can you identify what made it more difficult this year on the day, do you think?
I have no idea. Because I think it was more that I was like in my head, okay, last year it was the day before, so it'll be the day before. Because it's this whole thing that we've learned throughout the last year of doing this, that you never know when it's going to hit you. So I had this whole thing in my head, right, it's the day before. It's going to be the day before. It's going to fall, blah, blah, blah. It's the same with Christmas. I always think Christmas Eve is going to be a mess, but it's not. It's around the 20th. It's 21st or whatever. But this year, I was sort of okay on the Monday and on the Tuesday. And it just proves that you just don't. I mean, it's not something you can force.
I'm going to cry today. Yeah, you have no control over it.
Because it's the day before and I'm going to be absolutely fine the next day.
Do you feel that, like, people acknowledging it, does that, because on an anniversary, you're going to, you know, you tend to get lots of messages or people writing on Facebook pages and on Instagram and different things. Do you find that that makes it harder or makes it easier, or is it hard to know?
Oh, no, I think it makes it easier. Okay. What actually I found really nice was people remembering. Now, I'm sure a lot of people were sort of going, I can't quite remember the date, so I'm just going to mention it to her so I don't miss it. I know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't. But I find once February starts, I have some friends that are just extremely thoughtful to start going, how are you feeling? What are you doing? Do you want to go to this?
They
do you want to do that? Because
they know it's coming
up, and they know the lead up is coming up, and that's,
Can we talk about those wonderful people for a minute? Because I feel like on the episodes, a lot of times, and it's important that we talk about it, but we talk about the people that have maybe abandoned us at the time, friends who have walked away, because all grieving people go through some sort of experience like that. But we don't often give credit to the people that stay and the people that walk you through anniversaries and get you through that month. And without them, I don't even know what I would do. You know, those people are like the most incredible people, because sometimes they have loss, have experienced loss, but sometimes they haven't. And it's remarkable that they know how to be there for you.
Actually, the day after Martin's anniversary, go to a very sad funeral of somebody he'd known for many, many years. And I'd known, and it just another young person, and there was hundreds of people there. And her husband actually turned around to me and went, "Oh my God, this is a very hard day for you too." And I was just thinking, you're in the middle of 300 people and you
just
like,
lost
I know
your
what it's
life.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
to also stand there while on your own, while hundreds of people just come and shake your hands and are saying things to you. And I just went, how did that even go into your head? How did you actually, you know, and we're Facebook friends, whatever, I know you would have seen it the day before, but how, like, to
that
have the capacity
yeah,
to
amazing.
Say
yeah.
that. And I just went away thinking, wow.
Maybe that's the power of, even in that short period of time that he'd been dealing with loss, you know, it'd only been a few days really that he'd been faced with it, but recognizing that he too would be some, you know, a year down the line and 2 years down the line, and what that would be like.
I think, to be honest, like, I was sort of going, every time I think about that, or I think I read or hear about somebody I know that's passed away in similar circumstances, I do have this like horrible feeling inside that they're about to go through this absolutely horrendous 2 years of their lives. Yeah. And there's no way to sugarcoat it, but that's just what it is. And it's just, I almost feel, it makes me feel a bit better knowing I've sort of done those 2 years. Not that there's any, you know yourself, there's no guarantee whether it's going to get easier or more difficult or how it's going to go. But at least you know.
But there's some part of you that knows that those 2 years, those
are
very
done.
Difficult 2 years are done. I think that's a really great point. I think for people who are in the at the first few weeks or the first few steps, hearing from someone that it's not that it's a light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a glimmer of hope that when you get through the really, really brutal phase, and for some people, I imagine that can be 5 years or 10 years. I don't think it has to, you know, it can be a long periods of time. But that, you know, there's some kind of change, just some change, shift in how it operates or how you survive. Because, you know, my dad's 10-year anniversary, which was the biggest one so far that we've had in terms of like...
And that's quite a hard one because that's a decade.
It's a decade without him, And I looked back. It was much more reflective than anything, really. It was about looking back and saying how different things are now, how far... you know, it's a funny one to say, but how far I've come in terms of like acceptance, and how some of it was looking back at how strong I'd become as well. Because in those early days, especially with my dad was this great supporter of my sister and I. You know, I always kind of joke around about the fact that if you'd rang him at 3 o'clock in the morning to pick you up in Timbuktu, he'd have like been booking the flights and figured out a way to get there. And he just was that kind of dad. Like, he would have done anything for us. So when that person's not there anymore, there's a safety net that's gone. And learning to live without that safety net for 10 years and becoming your own safety net and
becoming a parent.
Becoming
in your case,
a parent, you know, and seeing glimmers of him in her and hearing my child talk about him a little bit. You know, it's bittersweet for sure, but I really got comfort in the messages from especially his best friends. So these older men, these guys who are, you know, who think to pick up the phone and send a text, who send an email to
That's
say that,
actually,
you know.
Actually something I've been surprised by, you know, that some men, which you'd automatically think, and I know I probably shouldn't say this, but you know what I'm going to say, that it's generally, especially if you're a woman, women come around you.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I did notice, and we've talked about this, that I did notice some of Martin's male friends having difficulty, for example, being in the house or being around, and one or two of them still have, but others have come back. It's like, it's sort of, they've gone through, and you have to, and that's another thing we've learned, you have to let people grieve in their own way. You can't say, no, this is how you should grieve, and we should all do this. It's like, everybody has to do it their own way, and there's no right or wrong way to do it.
And there's great, I think there's a really great freedom in when someone comes back around and you guys reconnect again.
Yeah.
And you
it's
kind
like a
of
fresh start.
It is. It's kind of like saying, look, you were in a bad spot and I was in a bad spot. And although those were different roads that it took us, the fact that we're still able to talk and communicate again is pretty great, considering all the, you know, difficulties that had happened. So, you know, I think forgiveness as well, like that's a hard one.
Yeah.
A really hard one. So sometimes if someone bails, I've struggled
with it.
It depends
how long they bail for, though, because I think certainly the one or two that went, that have come back are the ones who go, I now feel, God, you really, this really hit you hard.
Yeah.
And now you really felt it and you did grieve and it brings you closer to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just guys.
No, of course. No, of course.
So something that I think there's been a lot of in the last few weeks has been celebrity death, whether it's been by suicide or through tragedy. Obviously, the Staples Center had the memorial for
Kobe Bryant
and his daughter there the other day. And obviously, Caroline Flack's really sad passing has been absolutely everywhere because that started a whole new discussion about how the media perform in everyday life and how journalists write about people. And you've had newspapers come out saying, be kind, but then the next minute, then they're slagging off Meghan Markle, whatever. Yeah. So it's like whatever you think about somebody or your personal feelings may be, the last few weeks has taught us to just keep it to ourselves and not put it online. But the other thing when celebrities die is this whole sort of feeling of grief for somebody that you don't know and you haven't met. And you go, why am I so sad? I've never met this person. Or maybe it's because the person that died knew them and or really liked them or something. I remember Anthony Bourdain died shortly after Martin died, and I think that was the only time he was impressed by somebody I was going to interview.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
He was like, oh my God, and he's coming in. He got really excited and I was actually so starstruck that it was the worst interview ever. And I should never have been doing it because I was just starting off my career. So I wish I had the chance to do it again. But I remember feeling incredibly sad because I was like, God, I might be devastated that Anthony Bourdain is dead.
Yeah.
And then I got this like, but now he'd be going, oh, cool, I get to meet him. Do you know what I mean? Like this ridiculous thing. But I couldn't understand why I felt so sad. But so many people feel sad by celebrity death.
And I think
are confused by it.
I think so. I think we need to chill out a little bit on regulating other people's like emotions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we're really quick to kind of say, you never knew them, you shouldn't be sad about this, or, you know, relax, you know, it's just a celebrity, or, you know, they had it coming, all these awful things that people say. When realistically, like what we've learned a lot on this podcast is maybe it's kind of better to just let people have their feelings about things. And if Kobe Bryant was a hero to you and you loved watching him play basketball and you know that you'll never see him play basketball again, well, maybe that's okay to be sad about that. And for me, I personally didn't feel emotionally affected by Kobe Bryant, as in like I felt it was a very sad situation, but I had no connection to him. But when his wife was talking at the memorial yesterday and she said, I don't think they could have lived without each other in this world, I welled up because I thought how that mother was standing there in front of all of those people and she had to say goodbye to her husband and her daughter. And for me, that's just the empathy for humanity. It's not really about them being famous. If you saw any mother standing there that vulnerable and that open talking about that. And the same goes for Caroline Flack. I think whenever you've experienced darkness or depression or loss or anything like that, you know what it's like to be in a bad place. And the idea that someone would be so alone and feel so, you know, it doesn't matter that she was famous. It would feel sad for anyone. But because she was famous, obviously you're seeing it all day and it's in the headlines. I think the messages that we got were a lot of people almost asking if it's okay to be sad and saying, this has brought my grief back up for me. And I don't think we know why things bring back our grief back up to us, but we have to go with it when it does.
Well, I think if you have lost somebody very close to you and you have gone to that grief and you have gone down that tunnel where it's very dark and you almost physically have to pull yourself back from it. It's almost like this. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I've been there, yeah. And I can actually physically feel myself pulling myself back from it because I have three kids and it's not an option. Yeah. That's a very tough place to be, and it's a very tough place to try and get yourself back from. And if you are feeling in that place, then you know, you can't judge people. You can't. No. And it's, I have to say, like, I can see why so many people would resonate with it, because so many people have been in that place.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's, I think it's almost a sadness that you could bring yourself back, but they couldn't.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's very heartbreaking. I think the Be Kind movement, the one thing that I've kind of taken away from it, and I think it really applies to grief, is it's really easy to be kind to people who are doing okay.
Mm.
Anyone who knows, or someone who's been grieving, knows that grief, people who are experiencing grief aren't always the nicest people in the world, because they are angry and they've been through difficult. Well, sometimes they're angry, sometimes they're shut down, sometimes they're not communicating, sometimes they are not their bright, bubbly self, sometimes they're not fun. And you think that's when kindness should really kick in, but sometimes that can be really hard if the person is kind of mean, being more difficult. Mm. What I took away from it is we're all sort of saying, let's be kind to each other. But the challenge is going to be being kind to each other when we don't agree. The challenge is going to be being kind to each other when someone is depressed, properly depressed, and you don't know how to talk to them. You can't get through. So I think the overall message of be kind, we have to look at maybe a little bit more and kind of say, but how do we be kind under different circumstances that are difficult?
Yeah, and just follow through with it, I think is sort of what a lot of maybe journalists need to do as well.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So I think Venetia and I, we both really like talking about this one because I think it really applies to everyone now, which is how grief and social media meet. We had a message on our Instagram page that I saw, and it was a question about how often we talk about social media and grief. The person had very sadly lost their wife after just a 7-week illness, and social media, I think, was helping them get through it by writing extensively on Instagram. And, you know, we both feel kind of similarly. I think that we know that there's pluses and minuses, and we've had both experiences. So I think it can be a very, very positive place. And it can also be a place where you're vulnerable, but it can help you. It can help you get stuff out there and feel a little bit better sometimes.
Yeah, and I think sometimes if you're feeling a little bit lonely or a little bit alone, and you're thinking about the person and you want to subconsciously see if other people are thinking about them too, sometimes a little post just brings stuff back and makes you feel a bit better. But I think it's also, it's a way that, I mean, I certainly know after Martin died that a lot of people get in touch that I hadn't seen for years or whatever. And that was actually like friendships came back. It was sort of, but also friends of his got in touch that I mightn't have known and sent me photos or whatever. Or I think I've told this story before.
Oh, yeah.
To somebody who I work with here, was like, oh, my friend was a friend of Martin's, and he's just shown me these pictures of the two of them in boarding school. And I had never seen these pictures.
Yeah, which is such a gift.
And it was just, it was them bunking off in a wood or something. And I was like, I'd never seen those pictures before. And that was actually the power of social media and how it's sort of, now, I mean, oversharing can be sometimes difficult. Sometimes people don't want to be reminded. Sometimes they don't want to see the people's face. But you know what? It's your grief and you can do what you want.
It's hard. I think I'm struggling a little bit now with, because I realized, and this was really strange. So obviously we were talking about my dad's 10-year anniversary. Mm. So there were 10 posts from the night I posted the night that he died. And then every year I had posted one on his anniversary. So I was able to look back on a couple of weeks ago and see all 10.
Yeah.
And read through the messages. But the question came to me then, like, is this now time to kind of move on a little bit from that phase? And is it time to remember him in different ways, maybe integrate him more into my real, you know, not that he's not part of my real life, but I don't know. It just had me thinking a little bit about it. And sometimes I've said this before, and I think, you know, I have yet to find people that really relate to what I mean, but sometimes I feel embarrassed. I just feel like there's somebody on the other side saying, give it up already. She's going on about it again. Whereas the weird thing is that once I don't see the harm in it. I feel like it's very helpful to kind of be open about these things. But there is that fear, just that little fear. I was like, oh, God, here she goes again, you know, which.
Yeah, no, there is. And there's sort of, I think then as you go on, you do take a step back from that. It's sort of like maybe in the first year, first 18 months since Martin died, I was always changing my profile picture and it was always both of us.
Yeah.
Or us with the kids or whatever.
Well, that's now, a big transition. Yeah.
And now I notice.
There you
are. I'm not doing that anymore. And I don't know whether it's subconsciously or whether it's consciously or what it is. The only thing, and this goes back to the celebrity death thing that I have a bit of an issue with, is every time a celebrity dies, somebody has to be the first person with the photo with the celebrity up on social media. Yeah. Actually, there's somebody, a few of us know, that always seems to have a picture with whoever it is. It's like a collection. That I find.
Yeah.
I mean, those are where the two, where maybe social media isn't helpful in grief. But I think you can share a lot. And I think it can be incredibly helpful because there's people that are feeling the same way that you wouldn't know that they're feeling that way. Or, for example, I wouldn't necessarily have known your dad's anniversary, only the post was up.
Yeah.
So I was able to come down to you and say, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think
that's
nice
for people to know.
Exactly. Because like you said earlier, people aren't always going to remember the date, and social media can help a lot. It helps with birthdays. It helps with lots of things. So it can be very helpful.
Just helpful.
So we had another message from a listener. I think that this one is important to talk about. And it's about the bullshit barometer. And after you lose someone, that changes. And they were asking a little bit about their tolerance for bullshit had changed. So before they lost someone, they had a much higher tolerance. And then now they have much lower tolerance. So that's a really, really good point. You see it in almost everyone we've talked to. And I wouldn't even say it's necessarily bullshit. It's definitely a huge part of it. But also just everything important rises to the top and everything else just sort of floats away. Did you experience a sense of, I don't need any of this shit in my
tolerance.
Life? Yeah.
I have to say, I have zero tolerance.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, I mean, it was one thing I notice and I have to bring myself back from it, is I'm not patient anymore. I used to be, especially with the kids, super patient. And, you know, sometimes I sort of go, I was never that impatient. Why am I being so impatient? But it's a tolerance thing. If people annoy me, no time for it. I just go, yeah. But on the other scale of it, I'm sort of much more relaxed about choosing my battles. And, you know, if one of them doesn't want to do their homework, I'm like, do you know what? I'm not going to spend 20 minutes fighting this. I'll spend 20 minutes, but then I'm calling it a day. You know, because the things that are important to you and you see what is and what isn't. But in everyday life, in probably my professional life and just things that used to bug me, I suppose, like I don't react. I have zero time. Just like, yeah, whatever. But then there's other things that I would have got really worked up about it. Like, oh, I haven't paid that bill. I need to pay it by now. Where I just go, I'll pay it. Yeah. You know, it's sort of, so there's the two sides to it.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't have any tolerance for any bullshit. But at the other stage, I just go, I don't sweat the small stuff either.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Don't sweat the small stuff.
You know, because it's just irrelevant. It's
totally
like, you know,
relevant, yeah.
Our TV broke twice over Christmas, just after Christmas.
Oh, and then you need it most.
And then just because it was old. Yeah. And then the new one, unfortunately, got in the way of a Star Wars game.
Oh.
And the screen cracked a week later.
Jesus.
The washing machine broke, and what was the other thing? Oh yeah, and then we were out somewhere where we really needed a scooter because we were staying for a couple of days, and the scooter fell apart. So I had to turn around and buy a new one. All right after Christmas, and I just went, you know what?
Yeah,
you just fucking you do. Do you know what I mean? And there's other times
keep going,
where
yeah.
before I'm, what are we going to do? Yeah. Anyway, but I think that's the thing, and I think that's a very conflicting thing, especially when you're sort of in the height of grief. Is the zero tolerance, but then not sweating the small stuff at the same time, because it's sort of a conflict.
It is a conflict for sure.
You know,
I have found that, like, when it comes to drama, which I have like zero interest in now, I'm much more reflective of my own part in the puzzle than I was before I'd lost. So I think that maybe like self-awareness changed for me. So, you know, where we found it maybe easier to blame someone previously for something, let's say I felt done wrong or something. Now I'm a lot more like slow and processed in my approach to anything. And I kind of take time to think, and I'm not as quick to anger, even though I know that sounds like the opposite of a low tolerance to bullshit. But actually what I mean is I won't engage in something that hasn't, like if it's not important or doesn't, but when there is something important, I'm much more slow and processed in thinking, what role did I play in this? What's that person going through? What am I going through? Having some empathy and compassion for myself in the situation and them. So once I got past the bullshit phase, which I was like, so when my mother died, I was so angry at everybody. I mean, like I couldn't even, that was just how I dealt with it at the time, especially in those initial days. But now it's taught me to be a lot more measured. So I think the bullshit thing is really important, because I think it is something we all go through in some capacity, in some different way. So thanks for sending that question in.
Just, we thought it would be helpful for some people, maybe starting off particularly on this process, but also to acknowledge the people who have joined our Facebook group, which is a closed group. So it is
totally
all confidential
private,
and private, and it's your decision if you want to come to us. But we sort of felt that we wanted to acknowledge that we do read your posts and that sometimes I particularly find them too close to the bone to comment on because I still, despite everything we've learned about how to talk to people through grief or whatever, sometimes struggle, despite my own situation, with the right thing to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to have been helpful for other people to sort of come and share their stories and maybe get a bit of support.
Yeah, it's been the community that is being built there, and you guys are building it. We're just facilitating it, but the community of people that are there has been really comforting and wonderful to see other people looking after each other and supporting each other in the comments. And our Instagram page as well and Twitter are very active with people sending messages and just chatting about their own experiences. Asking questions is always such an important part of each other and of us. And yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody for it. You can find us. It's the Grief Encounters Facebook page, a closed group, as Venetia said. Grief Pod on Instagram and Grief Pod on Twitter.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.